Namaste, welcome to Dharma Reflections with Raghu Madurai. Today we are going to launch a new series titled Practical Krishna. We are going to look into the different incidents in the life of Krishna and try to extract the most practical human applications of the wisdom that is hidden in those stories. We are already aware that when we say Krishna, we see different dimensions of Krishna at the same time. We see Krishna as Parabrahman, we see Krishna as the Ishvara, we see the avatara, yet most of the time we overlook the human aspect of Krishna. It is by following and emulating this human aspect of Krishna, we can uplift ourselves. So we need to look at the Itihasa Puranas, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, and various other scriptures like a guidance system. That is exactly how the rishis have intended us to use them. Instead, we put it on a pedestal and we keep them as unachievable objects of worship. So we have to make this small correction. With that, we will commence by looking into two incidents in the life of Krishna. The first one will be the mission of hope for Gokula. The second one will be a scouting mission and also a mission to help the Pandavas, a mission to protect Pandavas. Shortly after Kamsa was killed by Krishna, Krishna and Balarama were invested with Upanayana by the Yadava Kula Guru, Gargarishi. And then there was a need that Krishna was missing all the education, although he needed none. So they sent Krishna and Balarama to an illustrious teacher residing in Avanti. His name was Sandipani. Krishna and Balarama mastered the 64 arts and sciences in 64 days and came back to Mathura. Krishna was concerned very much about his hasty exit from Gokula, as all the Brajavasis, starting from Nanda and Yashodas to the Gopas and Gopis, were totally dependent on him throughout his childhood he had spent there. So he decided to call Uddhava and send him as an emissary. His objective was to reduce the grief of the gopis and cheer up Nanda and Yashoda. Uddhava was perhaps the best educated among the Vishnis because he was a personal disciple of Brihaspati, who is the guru of the Devas. He was a very beloved friend, a devotee of Krishna, and he was endowed with extreme balanced intelligence. This is what we learn from Bhagavad. It is interesting to note that Uddhava is an excellent scholar. Throughout his life, he has a spiritual evolution that culminates in him being the last person to meet and receive words of wisdom from Krishna before he departs for Vaikuntha. Krishna imparts Uddhava Gita, which is also called Moksha Gita. That is very special. Uddhava has a Gita named after him. Unlike all other Gitas, which are named after who sung it or who composed it, like Hanumad Gita or Brahmara Gita, Ashtavakra Gita, so on and so forth. So this is just to highlight that Uddhava was not any normal, ordinary person. He was a very erudite person with advanced viveka, and yet there was an element which Krishna wanted him to work on, which is the reason why he sent him to Gokula. To the normal person, it looks like Krishna abandoned Gokula and Gopis. He used them and he left for Mathura, never to come back. But Bhagavatam informs us a complete different picture. The gopis are the highest category of bhaktas that anyone can see in any of the literature. They transcend all the great qualities of good bhaktas, which Krishna reminds us in Bhagavad Gita. So Uddhava reached Vraja around sunset, spent the night with Nanda, exchanging stories of Krishna. Listening to their conversation, Yashoda's heart was bursting with love and compassion. Finding their exalted love for Krishna, Uddhava tried to uplift their spirits by talking about the avatara, Ishvara, and Parabrahman aspect aspects of Krishna. It was talk about Krishna nonetheless, but about certain dimensions which would calm and comfort the wondrous couple. It was dawn, that's when the gopis discovered there was a gleaming golden chariot. They were wondering if Akrura had returned. Let us recall, Akrura was the one who fetched Krishna and Balarama to Mathura. Being their uncle, he had that extra weight in carrying out Kamsa's mission. Then the gopis were confounded even more when they saw someone very similar to Krishna and someone who was wearing Krishna's clothes and realized it was Uddhava. Finding that he was an emissary of Krishna, they poured their hearts out and all the anguish that Krishna had caused by deserting Gokula. They felt like a flower being deserted by the bee after it had consumed its quota of nectar. And thus was born one of the highest outbursts of bhakti called Brahmara Gita, sung by the gopis. Uddhava now understood that what he was witnessing was bhakti of the rarest and highest order. He started expounding the highest subtleties of Atman and also shared the personal message of Krishna. Through Uddhava, Krishna inquired the gopis that how can he ever be separate from the gopis? He, the Atman, Paramatman, permeates the Panchamahabhutas, the Manas, the Indriyas, the Gunas. The Atman is very distinct from the body or the mind and is not affected by the Gunas and is pure consciousness. Controlling the Manas and the Indriyas is the purpose of the Vedas, Krishna advised them. This may be done through different disciplines like yoga, sankhya, sannyasa, tyaga, tapas, indriya nigraha and satyam. They are like the different rivers that all flow into the same sea. He wanted the gopis to master the meditation upon him, though he was physically far away. He told them that this was the sole purpose why he chose to leave them in such a state. Krishna reminded them that just like a lover's fondness grows in the absence, the constant thinking of Krishna by the gopis will help them to further in their spiritual journey. Thus, contrary to the popular belief that Krishna abandoned the gopis, Krishna created a spiritual environment for the highest level bhaktas to evolve into the next level. We have proof of this towards the end of the life of Krishna. When he was about to depart for Vaikuntha, he puts Uddhava in the same spot. Uddhava wanted to follow him, but Krishna told him to work on renunciation, and the gopis are getting the same treatment. So thus consoled by Krishna's personal message, they remained focused on incessant thinking of Krishna. Uddhava stayed there for a few more months and spent all the time thinking and talking about Krishna's pastimes. He visited the different locations where wondrous Krishna Leela had happened. Uddhava's personal benefit was far superior to what he brought to the table to the Brajavasis. In that state of mind, he burst out into 5 wondrous slokas, often referred as Pancharatna, where he glorifies the superlative state of the gopis. Eventually, with the love and permission of Nanda and Yashoda, the gopas and gopis, Uddhava returned to Mathura with all their messages and hearts from Gokula and shared all their gifts. Shortly thereafter, Krishna embarked upon another mission. He had earlier promised Akrura during his initial entry into Mathura that one of these days he would grace Akrura's house. Using this pretext to achieve his mission, he visited Akrura along with Balarama and Uddhava. Akrura was overjoyed, gave him a wonderful cordial welcome, gave him argyam and padyam, worshipped him with flowers and chandana. Then he broke into a wonderful stuti, which is full of deep meaning and bhakti. Krishna wanted to accomplish his mission, so he used his charm offensive with a broad beautiful smile and spoke many wonderful honeyed words of how elderly people must be worshipped and how much respectful he was of Akrura, and pleaded Akrura that he was the most fit person to carry out a very special mission for Krishna to visit Hastinapura and to know the status of Pandavas, as there was the news that Pandu had died and Pandavas were getting a stepmotherly treatment from Dhritarashtra. Akrura immediately agreed to the assignment. He went to Hastinapura and blended with all the prominent people like Bhishma, Drona and all the other characters. He stayed there for a few months to get a first-hand understanding of the activities. One must recall that Akrura is the brother of Vasudeva and also Pritha, who is Kunti. Thus, Kunti was able to open her heart and share her woes and anxiety for her children. It is interesting that Kunti's primary concern was not even about the safety of Pandavas, but if they were under the protection of Krishna. Then towards the end of his stay, Akrura approached Dhritarashtra and advised him few words of wonderful wisdom. He reminded that it was the personal responsibility of Dhritarashtra and his duty to treat the Pandavas the same way as he treated his own children. He reminded Dhritarashtra that one cannot remain in the body permanently. So all the relationships that come with the body, be it wife or children, are impermanent. Every creature is born alone and dies alone. Everyone enjoys their merits by themselves, as also suffer for the demerits themselves. Wealth obtained by adharmic means will be destroyed in the end. The foolish person thinks they are the body, and wealth, children as one's own, don't have the correct understanding. Due to this, they even adopt adharmic ways to sustain the impermanent body, relationships, false idea of wealth, only to find that all these things that are dear to them, which they have been fighting for all their life, abandon them, causing them extreme frustration. Akrura cautioned the outcome of such a disastrous mindset, and it may be easier to mend now. A person rooted in adharma is blinded by the impermanent objects of love, drift their entire life without any worthwhile purpose, and even if they seem to be driven by a purpose, the end goal is an impermanent one, and hence they achieve nothing that is worthwhile, and they enter into this self-created tamasic hell. Dhritarashtra was extremely pleased at this great wisdom and was very thankful. Yet, he expresses his inability to retain this wisdom. Just like a cloud cannot hold on to a lightning forever, his mind was extremely prejudiced and biased towards the love for his children. It seems it was unable to retain such great wisdom. He justified his actions by calling it as fate, and perhaps it was Ishvara's law that was making him do things in a certain way. This kind of fatalism is never accepted by people of wisdom. Towards the end, he even acknowledged that Krishna had taken the avatara to reduce the burden on the earth, and he pays his obeisance to the Paramahishvara that creates this world, enters in it, regulates it through his inconceivable maya. To such a Paramatma, both samsara and moksha are a mere sport. Akrura came back to Mathura, updated Krishna and Balarama of the attitude and actions of Dhritarashtra and the situation of Pandavas. Here we conclude both the stories. Now let us look deeper and understand what are the practical messages we can apply from these two incidents in Krishna's life. The first takeaway for us is be always invested in the welfare of others, especially those who are dependent on you. It may be our situation that we may not be physically present to support a person, but it is the responsibility of mentally, physically, financially, being for the person, as the case may be. The next thing we want to look at is how to delegate work in a team. Krishna picked the right person for each mission with a different set of skills. Imagine if Krishna had mixed up and swapped the two emissaries. Akrura was already in the bad books of gopis. So even if he brought Krishna's handwritten message, the gopis' anger on Akrura would have blinded them from receiving the right message. On the other hand, when Uddhava came, Uddhava had also benefited. He was able to bring the real message of Krishna without any layers of emotional baggage attached to it. He also was looking like Krishna, behaved like Krishna, and even dressed like Krishna. Now the same is true for the Hastinapura mission. If Uddhava were to have replaced Akrura, despite all the wisdom, Uddhava's diplomacy and the relationship skills would have fallen way short of the mission's requirement. Akrura brought diplomacy, relationship, and maturity to the table. He was able to blend in with elders and youngsters alike. He used his personal relationships on both sides to even use his age on his side to advise Dhritarashtra. If Uddhava had tried the same act, he could have been punished. The next message we get from these two incidents is think long term. The Pandavas were so young, barely knew the dangers of their own environment. But Krishna had the foresight about their future. This is true with all Purusharthas, with the exception of Moksha, where we need to do a little bit of foreplanning. If we want to be rooted in Dharma, there has to be an element of long-term thinking. If we want to have some achievement of Artha and Kama, there is an element of long-term thinking, both strategic and tactical. The next aspect we can learn from these incidents is every team player must benefit from our actions. Uddhava, though, was sent under the garb of consoling Gopas and Gopis, Yashoda and Nanda, was the primary beneficiary. He went in as a jnani and realized that he had many peaks to scale in terms of bhakti. The next takeaway for us is don't resign to tamas. Don't give in to tamas. Dhritarashtra had such a strong prejudice and extreme affection for his own children that he forgot all his duties as a king. And it is important to understand that this Krishna's mission was the first of many, which culminated in Krishna becoming the Duta before the Mahabharata war. We have to learn a few lessons. Tamas is not only dark but also very rigid. It is very difficult to break. Krishna had been working on Dhritarashtra's mind for such a long time, yet only the shock of the loss of his children opened it. The warning for us is to constantly keep working on our gunas and trying to increase our sattva. This can happen through satsanga, constantly studying scriptures. What happens when we have sattva guna is we are open to receiving the good messages that come to us from the different sources. The corollary is Dhritarashtra. Despite great many people who came and advised him, starting from Akrura to Bhishma and Vidura to Vyasa and Krishna, his mind was buried in tamas that he could not receive it. And this is a great message for us how not to be. Another practical message we can take is to be a hope giver. Krishna was the source of hope for Kunti, and this he did not just because he was an avatara but because of his words and actions to that effect. Another practical tip we can take from this situation, from these two incidents, is to understand the problem before we attempt to solve. Before Krishna got entangled with the Pandavas' life, with the Mahabharata war, Krishna started to understand the problem by sending Akrura as the emissary. The next takeaway for us is spirituality is a journey. And in this journey, we definitely need a guide. The Gopas and Gopis, Nanda and Yashoda, were already in an exalted state of bhakti. But Krishna chose to take them to the next level. And that is the reason why he chose Uddhava to carry the message. And in that process, Uddhava also benefited. How does it matter to us? Because we are also on this same journey. We can begin where we are. We have to just choose the direction and not worry about the pace. We can grow and evolve slowly at our own pace as long as we are aligned in the right direction towards Paramatma. So in this journey, we are not in the same league as the Gopas and Gopis, but we are on the same road. So as we take the toddler steps by studying Itihasa Puranas, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, we are given the assurance by Krishna that he will be there to protect our bhakti and dharma. The last takeaway is, what is our primary focus? The Gopas and Gopis had moksha kamana and bhakti as their primary focus, and that is why Krishna chose that as his first mission, because any bhakta, any mumukshu is his first choice. The second mission was that of protecting the Pandavas. The reason? Pandavas were committed to the upholding of dharma at any cost. As long as one is either focused on moksha or dharma, which contains in itself artha and kama, Krishna is committed to helping those people. The two incidents are full of so much wisdom for any bhakta or sadhaka that there is enough material in Bhagavatam in just these two incidents that one can immerse oneself in Brahma Vichara, starting with Brahmari Gita and Pancharatna to Akrura Stuti and the advice he gives to Dhritarashtra. There is so much wisdom. All these wonderful gems can elevate any person who is willing to apply their mind on it. The purpose of dwelling on these small incidents in Krishna's life is to profit both our vyavaharika and spiritual journey. May Krishna's grace be upon us that we retain and grow our sattvic guna, and to gain such practical wisdom and apply it in our lives, thereby becoming part of his mission, becoming a tool in his hands. Om Tat Sat.